We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right. What up, though? We got a wide range of fans out there. With the 75th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Kerron Amagaji, tackle out of Yale.
I can't even put it into words. Like, this is like the, I really have no words. I grew up a Bears fan, watching Devin Hester playing Madden 08, 09, running around with Devin Hester in kickoff mode. Like, this is everything I've wanted since I was a little kid, so. I can't even put it into words. It's amazing.
Molly and Haw draft special. We've got Patrick Manley here this morning, and we are breaking down the draft. And that was the next pick for the Bears, the 75th pick in the draft. Generally speaking, people talked about this draft being kind of a 50-player draft. You wanted to make sure you got plenty in the first 50, because then it becomes a scouts draft, and everybody, no one knows where people are going. In terms of a left tackle from Yale, he had a leg injury, which kept him from playing for much of the season. There's only four games, I believe, that he could play last year because of the was it a quad injury?
Quad injury, yes. So, that surgery.
So he had to have surgery
season
on that.
Ender.
But this is a guy. This is like an all-airport team guy, right? In other words, if you saw him walk, you'd be like, there's a professional football player. He looks the part. He's a hardworking guy. I'm not dissing him in any way.
Nope.
But he's played at a level where you're not playing against, you know, the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world.
It's the Ivy League.
Do you see that guy when he was on stage?
He's
bursting out of his clothes, and I'm like, leave Caleb Williams alone.
You don't typically look for offensive linemen at Yale. You look for doctors and lawyers and economists at Yale.
Hey, we got O-linemen coming out of Duke.
Okay.
Graham Barton.
See, I knew Duke
first
would come out.
See?
I knew that would be
here.
How long did that take? Look, with Amagaji, you're getting somebody who is 6'5", 326 pounds. That's a massive mountain of a man.
And he's got, like, his arm length is,
The reach is what his thing. I think he called it his superpower.
Holy cow.
He's also the first Yale. Did you see that? The highest drafted Yale player since 1982.
They say he's like that guy from the Fantastic Four. He can reach out of the room.
Holding. See?
But does he have strength? Can he use those arms?
Well,
that's
going to
be the question, guys.
That's the weight room.
So, Patrick, when you see that 6'5", 326, good question about the power and strength, because he's not faced that level of competition. Do you project him as a guy that's going to challenge Braxton Jones or be the swing tackle, as Ryan Poles mentioned, or compete for a starting job at one of the guard spots?
I think you have to try tackle. I just when you bring a guy in, you know, you go from the outside to the inside. You move him from outside to inside, and I think you have to give him a chance. I mean, you scouted him as a third-round pick with that talent. Braxton Jones was a hit as a fifth-round pick. So what you see in his traits are better than what you saw in Braxton Jones when he came out. So I think you go ahead and give him a shot and let Braxton prove it. That he earns a spot back. And then if it doesn't work out, you maybe move him inside. But, Mullah, we've talked with Olin, and you just want your five best out there. And if he ends up being one of your five best, find a spot for him. And if it's left tackle, great. I hope it is. And maybe he is the cornerstone for Caleb out there, and they hit on a guy from Yale, which would be amazing. But you try him out there first.
Where are you at with Braxton Jones? You know, Dave thought that he was getting better at the end of the year. We know the neck injury is scary. We don't know. Mm-hmm. He's going into his third year. You would think that given the investment of starts that would start paying off a little bit? Where are you at with him as the weak link on the offensive line?
Oh, man, that's a hard one to say. I think center right now would be the weak link. But
okay.
I think he's serviceable. And I think what you've gotten out of him as a fifth-round pick is fantastic. I talked to a high-level NFL personnel guy, and I asked him about him. And I said, what do you think about him compared to Charles Leno? And he goes, very similar player. And we always felt like here you can improve on Charles Leno. And it's a cornerstone position to me.
Yes, it is.
Quarterback, corner, O-lineman, edge rusher, right? And that's a cornerstone position that I want to have. Hopefully it could be just Darnell Wright, be that absolute stud tackle where you have one side of the line you can slide away from and he can take care of him. You can go 4-on-3 on the other side. So you could live with Braxton Jones, but I would love an upgrade at that position.
Could you move Wright to left tackle?
They've talked about that. I don't think that's something in the cards. I think they did talk about that even during last season at some point, but or maybe before it. I don't know that that makes sense.
I don't either.
Not after 1 year of experience.
No, yeah. But I'm just curious.
If you would have gotten the right tackle in free agency or if there was a draft pick.
You may have
like a J.C. Latham or something
like
that.
Yeah, something like that. I think then you'd consider it. Now I don't think you do. Now you look at, I think, Amagaji as a guy that will develop and provide you quality depth until you figure out a place for him to fit. You also, we're talking about this like there's only five guys. They're going to need eight.
Yes.
Teams are going to be tested with attrition.
You probably keep nine if you're keeping a developmental player. He said that he came here on a 30 visit.
Yeah.
And that he met with Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach, and that they their shared plan, what they talked about doing was what he wanted to do and what they wanted to do with it. Sounded like they connected.
It sounded like he had a good rapport. He's grew up
from here,
Bears fan, Hinsdale Central. And you know what the best story was that not only did he meet with Simo, but apparently he's already had an interaction with Matt Eberflus, and it came last summer.
Funny. Yeah.
And this is what he had to say about a chance encounter with Matt Eberflus at a golf club in Hinsdale last summer.
Honestly, the biggest thing is that last summer, I met Coach Eberflus at a golf club that my dad belongs to, and I introduced myself. He didn't know who I was, obviously, and I told him that one day I'd be sitting in his office, and the next year that they'd be looking at to draft me. So he reminded me of that on the phone today, and that's the biggest thing is that this is something that I've been dreaming about for so long, and something that I wanted to happen, and it happened. I honestly can't even believe it. I don't even know if this is real, if I'm dreaming.
I got to tell you, Matt Eberflus, above and beyond the Call of Duty, searching golf courses for offensive line.
You know what? Yeah, some guys, they beat the bushes. They go to the most remote locations. Matt Eberflus finds his offensive lineman on the golf course.
When they're evaluating this tackle of Amagaji, do you think they put, like, his golf handicap? I want to know what his handicap is.
It's a great story.
You're the kind of guy that I would find at a Hinsdale golf club. I'm not sure I want the starting left tackle to be from there.
Not
till after he's done, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't blame his dad, right? Or his mom, or whoever's making the money for that. But
maybe
he can earn his own, membership to the club after making the Bears for a while.
Golf club in Hinsdale? I went to a wedding there.
Swanky.
Mother of God.
It's swanky.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know where Flus hangs out in Unwise.
Well, how about that?
Decompresses after a tough year.
I hear he's a pretty good golfer.
Dick
Turan.
You don't want your head coach to be that good of a golfer.
He's an athlete.
If you're a college football, if you're a college football head coach, you're a good golfer. You might be a lousy recruiter because you're spending all your time on the golf course.
True. Did you ever hear Dick Turan would go to that Platteville course and do like a speed golf in the morning? He never had a cart. He'd just sprint the course.
There also was a hitting bay at Hallis Hall.
Oh, was that
in the
right?
basement?
Okay.
And I think, I don't know who found it one day, but we found it. We didn't realize what was going on. I think Michael McCaskey was using it and Coach Duran. That was where he would go get away. And then we found it. I don't know if they knew we were sneaking down there and using it as well, but we would.
By the way,
Dave is a golf coach. He should be a good golfer.
We haven't talked to you in a while. Are you the assistant special teams coach at Rolling Meadows High School?
I am not.
Hold out for more?
No, I am not. I'm happy for Robbie. He's going to do a great job there.
Were you surprised?
No, he loves the game.
This is the guy that could help an NFL team. This
Agreed,
is a guy that could
he's,
probably still kick. This is a guy who's
right.
coming back here. I have a ton of respect for what he's doing.
His family. That's why.
Yeah.
I haven't asked him right out, but I know it's his boys, the age they're at. He wants to be around them. this gives him more opportunity to do that. And I think he's going to influence these young athletes at the high school level. I think he's going to do a great job. The one thing about Robbie is, okay, you talk about kickers. He knew everything that was going on the field. He right. studied everything. He was a guy that had an opinion on everything too. But love you, Robbie.
Didn't really?
But he, you know, he studied the game. He didn't just study special teams. So I think he'll do a great job.
He's one of the all-time great NFL stories. He really is for a guy that kind of came from obscurity to being a locked-in kicker for as long as he was for very good teams, big kicks, game-winning kicks. Never missed in the playoffs.
No,
right?
That's amazing. But when he came in for the workout, you know, Brad Maynard and I called in on a Tuesday, and I forgot the other kickers were there, a couple veterans or whatever.
Yeah, there was somebody who I'd heard of.
Might have been Grammatica. I don't know. Steve. I don't know. There were some other guys there. But when the ball came off his foot, Brad and I just looked at each other and were like, whoa.
You knew.
Holy cow. Yeah. And just the height, everything. Just his stuff. And we're like, this guy. And he came in and – I think his first game was against the Browns, maybe, or then we won a game down in, I guess it was in New Orleans because we, it was at LSU because we played the Saints there because after the hurricane.
I remember that game.
I was like, all right, this kid's got it.
Great story. The Bears drafted another one last night because, you know, we talk about Amagaji. He has a background. His father grew up in West Africa.
Okay.
They lived in France before moving to the U.S., mother, born in Cameroon, lived in Canada. I think he speaks French. I said, you're going to love him if he does. We could have.
I can only laugh in French.
That's okay. We could do an interview in French. I think that's the case. And certainly this is one of those backgrounds that.
Wow, that's great.
During COVID, you know, the Ivy League canceled the season.
Yes.
He could have gone somewhere else, decided to stay. For the education.
This
is a bright young man. And it's almost like when you see Caleb Williams followed by Roma Dunze, you listen to them yesterday. And then you hear Amagaji last night talk. And it's like, okay, who is authoring this draft? A football executive or a screenwriter?
Right. Who's the most articulate of
these
the
guys
draft picks?
And awesome. Their stories are terrific.
I agree.
And you know the thing that was – with Ryan Poles making this pick, I've got a lot of trust in this guy right now. He's been hitting on everything, and I think he knows what he's doing with offensive linemen. And I'm excited for this pick.
Are you surprised?
I expect it worked out.
Are you surprised by that?
That
you're impressed by Ryan Poles? Did you expect to be surprised in his third draft by Ryan Poles and his ability to put a roster together that looks like it's playoff ready?
Yeah, because he was young. I didn't know. I just didn't. Yeah. You know, when you have a guy that young, but he did come from a franchise that's built a lot of success, and he got to see how it was done. I'm really impressed of how he's handling himself.
Do you remember him? He was in camp. No way, he was in camp.
I know he was in camp.
There.
Yeah, he was in our O line room. He was in special teams meetings, and I think he played tackle or something during field goal.
Tackle or something. He might have been the holder.
I don't remember him. I really don't. But I remember the name. I had to think about it and think about it. But
it's a camp body. I'm not being mean.
No, that's what it was. And he was a good rookie by keeping his mouth shut and you know did the right thing. But I really did not know him. I don't even know if I spoke to him. I'm sure I did, but
he said he carried your pads everywhere.
Yeah, right.
You know, he spoke so highly of you the other day.
Yeah, right.
He said his biggest memory of being a player with the Bears was his interaction with Patrick Manley. Well,
the problem was he never came over.
Being a manservant to
He never came over to TJ's, that's why.
But he said he washed your car. Is that true or false?
No.
That was the president.
I would have known him if he would have come over to TJ's.
You know,
Kevin Warren washed the car.
Well, one of the things I think that shows the growth that kind of you're talking about, and we're having a lot of fun talking about it because it's a great weekend for the Bears. But last night, he seemed so at ease revealing the thought process once they got to 75. And he was very transparent about the fact that, you know what, right before the Bears took Amagaji, Braylon Trice from Washington went to the Falcons, edge rusher. And I think that he was talking about that was probably the guy they thought was going to fall to him when they didn't. They were gold-level players or however he described it. I feel like that transparency implies just a sense of confidence that you weren't always seeing in his first 2 years.
I loved when he told the story about waiting on Roma Dunze and that Ian Cunningham had to hold him back from trading up for him, that he was ready to move up to get him. They really wanted that player, and they were convinced to hold their water and wait.
And his confidence. I mean, he's able to be transparent about everything and not waver on it and think, this is why I made this decision. This is why I'm doing this. And it's great for us to hear finally, right? You get kind of the insight to what's going on, and
I like his confidence. It's great that he has these good things to talk about.
True.
They're not like, what went wrong with the Chase Claypool trade?
Right.
Well, yeah, let's take a listen to what he said about waiting.
I go back one step. It wasn't so much like a specific position group. The players, you know, like I told you the other day, Ian and I sequenced the board out all the way across, and Rome was extremely high on that list. That's why I was nervous that he wasn't going to be there at 9. Our simulations, it was about a 50-50 shot if he was going to be there. But as it started to unfold, Ian had to hold me back from not trying to trade up and do something crazy to get him. But it ended up working out really well.
That's awesome.
Well, that's the value. What were they having fun the other day talking about? Who's the yes man? I'm not a yes man. What's a yes man? He's not a yes man. He's there to keep him from, you know, making the wrong decision. They work well together.
Yeah.
It must be real cool to have this feeling. And again, I'll just ask you. They've done a good job the last year putting this roster together. Mm-hmm. We talked about it on Friday. I don't like this. The only thing you don't like about the Bears' rhetoric right now is the sense that they have gotten through the rebuild. I don't think they have. They're not done rebuilding. They're not. Patrick, don't you think that too often we celebrate an achievement before
in progress.
There's still room for improvement, obviously. But I think now when I'm doing the pre- and post-game show or the pre-game show, there are expectations to win, not just hoping they're going to win. There are expectations to win. So there's always a rebuild. You can say every team's always rebuilding because they got to fill holes or whatever. But I think they just changed their expectations. So we're not going to sit here and be like, I hope they win this game. It's going to be like, hey, this is how they can win this game. They have that quarterback. They have the wide receiving core. They have a defense. You know, they're missing another edge rusher, and there are some holes there to rebuild, but expectations are there now. So I think that's when you can kind of say a rebuild is trending to be over.
So let's talk about that for a minute. We do not know the schedule yet. The announcement of the schedule isn't there, so we don't know when they play them. But we do know who they play. Mm-hmm. We certainly know who they play in the division. Do you believe that they can reverse the 7-10 to a 10-7? That's as low as I'll go. I'll say try to switch that record up. They lost 10 games last year.
That's a dramatic change.
That's
though,
a huge
that's
change.
That's a dramatic turnaround. Now, if they're 10-7, they've finished the rebuild. They're a playoff team.
Yeah. But let's look at this. And I'm putting these expectations on Caleb Williams. And that's C.J. Stroud and what he did.
Yes. Thank
that's
you.
That's what I'm putting out there.
Yes.
And
it's out there. And you should go attain that.
That should
be his goal. Be the first 4,000-yard passer. Get this team to the playoffs. I'm not saying you have to win the division, but get this team to the playoffs. But that's the expectations I have. When I'm talking about expectations, I'm sure they have them as well.
And that's the comp. Defensive-minded head coach, top 10 defense, rookie quarterback, limited weaponry, although right now Caleb Williams, he's got more weapons here than they did in Houston a year ago.
And I think also when you're in that locker room, your expectations are higher. I guarantee you, a few years ago, guys were looking around like, who's going to help us win? Who you know, they're looking at somebody, what player is going to help us win?
Right.
Now you've got it.
Familiar look. All of a sudden, I thought it was 2009.
It kind of was.
Yeah, right.
But no, now you got dogs. You got Jalen Johnson. You got Montez Sweat.
Yes.
You've got guys you can look around and be like, that guy can help
that
us win. We
play.
Can win because
yes.
of him.
Yes.
And I think that's a fun thing to be in a locker room when you're playing with those guys.
Home schedule. Lions? It might not be Lions.
Well, I mean, they have matched up well with the Lions,
okay.
but that's because their running game
was
so strong.
Justin Fields.
Win or
loss.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. But they did match
Probably
up
lost.
With them.
Packers.
Packers is the team that they've never matched up
Vikings.
With.
Vikings. They'll beat the Vikings at home.
They've got a split with the Packers.
Rams.
That would be – they have not beaten Matt Eberflus can't beat the Flower.
Seahawks, Jaguars, Titans,
You've
Panthers,
beat
Patriots.
The Flower.
Those are the home games.
All right, who's the best quarterback in the division?
Right now,
mm-hmm.
the most accomplished quarterback in the division is Jared Goff.
Yep.
Number
the
one
best
overall.
Quarterback in the division is Caleb Williams.
Yes.
Well – I mean,
Jordan Love,
and if
we apologize.
If he becomes
say,
that, if he
yeah.
becomes that.
Jordan Love right it, now is
You win
of,
games because
it's
just because of that.
It's unrequited love right now because he's got to prove it again.
It's
right.
Goff
right.
and Jordan Love mm-hmm. and then the two rookies.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm saying
out of
it right
respect.
Now. Just out of respect for what you did a year ago.
But I think that if you reconfigure the question, who's got the highest ceiling, what quarterback? That's Caleb
yes.
Williams.
Mm-hmm. Well, out
so
of all
let's
of
say
them,
week eight, do you expect him to jump to two? You know,
yes.
like say, you know, like, yeah, that's
yes.
I do too. Even as a rookie, I do with the weapons.
Read that schedule again. Read
home,
the name.
These are the home opponents.
Yeah.
Lions.
Yep.
Packers.
Yep.
Vikings. Rams, Seahawks, Jaguars, Titans, Panthers, Patriots. Then you go on the road. Detroit, Green Bay, Minnesota. Arizona Cardinals. That's a win. That's, San Francisco.
Arizona had a great draft. We should talk about that.
San Francisco, Houston, Colts, Commanders.
That's pretty good. Colts did okay.
There are 9 or 10 victories in that schedule.
How many of those scare you? Would you just say no right off the board?
49ers?
Yep. Niners.
Niners.
Yeah.
There's not really another team on there that would say qualify as a scare. I don't get the Sunday scaries right.
Give me,
on any
so
of those.
To me, that run that real quick. Yeah. Pass me again.
Okay.
See, I would argue that the Packers are scary.
Let's do this real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Home games. Lions, Packers, Vikings, Rams. Seahawks, Jaguars, Titans, Panthers, Patriots.
Okay, you can beat all those.
Yes.
You?
Away. Lions, Packers, Vikings, Cardinals, Niners, Texans, Colts, Commanders.
I think Texans could be a
Niners, and the Lions in Detroit, that's going to be a tough road challenge. That's a great test for Caleb Williams.
I'm curious about what the Colts look like with Anthony Richardson back. True. And with their game.
And Latu.
Yeah, Latu.
Chasing Caleb Williams around. That'll be fun.
If he is what the Dwight Freeney they think he is.
What, that's a problem. Dwight Freeney you think he could be. That was your comp.
I just said that had to be their mindset.
It had
when
to be
they
the mindset.
Drafted him kind of early.
First defensive player taken.
But he's arguably the most NFL ready pass rusher of that bunch. Yeah. Doesn't mean he's the best pass
In terms
rusher.
Of a burst, I think you're right. I would run right at him. But I think that's a good point.
But listen, guys, the expectation now, doing that little exercise there,
yes,
that gets me excited.
I know.
I've got a little juice here.
There's no sense of dread.
I'm not dreading pregame show next year.
I don't even dread the Niners, to be honest with
right.
you. Let's see what happens. I know they got another receiver added to the mix, but they got two receivers and one out. I don't know. We'll see. That's a dangerous team. And they got good defensive front.
Yeah, but okay, maybe if you're a defense that's really rolling and they play the Niners after a bye week and that defense is going to – can Brock Purdy handle it? Can Brock Purdy handle it?
They're going to be on a ton of primetime games.
Yes.
Bears, yes.
Bears are going to be made for primetime.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
I'm talking Thursday, Sundays, Monday nights. They're going to be, six different nighttime games?
Is that the max? Isn't there a max you can do?
I think it's six.
They're going to meet it then. Yeah, it'll be the Patrick Mahomes and Caleb Williams extravaganza when we talk about primetime games.
Yeah.
Those would be the two most featured quarterbacks in primetime NFL football next year.
Wow. Let's hope they live up to it. 312-644-6767. We're going to get to our guy, Mark Grody, at some point. I know he's up getting ready for the big explosion.
I'll wake him up. I'll call him during the break.
What is it, 122? Is that the
122.
Yes.
Unless they trade down or up.
And
or
that's
wherever.
The last one, unless they decide to dip into next year's pile and start getting some late picks. We'll see. I was surprised that they were as patient. They were waiting for 75. It just surprised me. I just thought they would get a little antsy. Hard to sit around and wait. It was hard to watch the damn thing waiting for them to pick. Especially since you're just crossing a line through different centers or different guys.
I tweeted out last night. I was like, I would not be opposed if they used next year's draft capital and went up and got a center.
That's what I said.
Plus the Sox were winning.
That doesn't happen often. It's the Mully and Haw NFL Draft Special. We're having a lot of fun on a Saturday. We got Patrick Manley here. Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Our live draft coverage continues on 670 The Score, presented by ChevyDrivesChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yes, indeed. It is the NFL Draft Special. Mully and Haw, we've got Patrick Manley here with us, and we're picking apart the draft and We should let you know that draft coverage on The Score is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, official truck partner of the Chicago Bears.
So we talked about the Cardinals being one of the key spots in the first round when they held on to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Right.
And that was a spot where you felt like the Vikings may dive in and try to get J.J. McCarthy and move up. They didn't have to do that. What did you think about, because all these moves ahead of the Bears affect the Bears, so I'm curious to get your impressions, Patrick. What did you think, number one, about the Cardinals' decision to do that? And where are you on Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think at some point was regarded as the best player in the draft, but there have been some very, maybe to some concerning reports about his reticence about certain things. He hasn't even signed with the NFLPA's licensing agreement, so they can't even sell his jersey yet. He didn't work out for anybody. Those kind of red flags, I think, or those kind of warning signs kept people from maybe being all in on a guy who I think is going to be great.
Yeah, and I just you wonder, what is his dad telling him? You know, why is he doing it this way? You know, there must be, I don't know. You would think
his dad told him to be more of a diva. Did you see that clip?
Yeah.
What advice would you have for your son? Be more of a diva. Want the football and demand it.
Yeah, there's some red flags there, but his talent is there. And then Kyler Murray's got a great, great player, but is he going to fit? That's just odd to me to see Marvin Harrison, who I had a lot of respect for, got to play against him, see him play, and excellent player, and I like the way he went about his business, and it's interesting to tell your son that when he had such a career like he did, the way he went about it.
He was the kind of like the unassuming guy that just was always there.
Yes.
You didn't hear too much about him making much noise.
It makes your life easier. It has to make your life easier going that way.
I guess it's a roundabout way of wondering, do you think that Roma Dunze can match Marvin Harrison Jr.'s performance level or production as a rookie?
As a rookie, okay. That's up to Caleb Williams. You know, I think that's all up to Caleb Williams, how he produces, how he comes in and plays. I think, that goes hand in hand.
But those three receivers that went in the top 10 are all going to be compared. Neighbors
yes.
at the Giants, yeah. who I think could be a risky pick. Adunze with the Bears, who seems to have just every time he talks, people like buy in a little bit more. And then Marvin Harrison Jr., who I think was the best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be compared forever because of that.
And that's fun. I think that's fun because then they get competitive with each other. You hear about Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, other receivers talking about their draft class and they're competing. Who's the best one? They jokingly say, I am. He's not. All that kind of stuff. And hopefully it goes that way because it gets you more motivated. You don't need more motivation, but it's a fun thing for him to look at stats probably every Sunday and be like, hey, I need to pick it up a little bit.
And a lot of it will depend on the quarterback. And Kyler Murray with Marvin Harrison Jr., he's got to come back and be – one can help the other. They're both going to complement each other. And we talk about the multiplier as the new term in scouting, mm-hmm. right? The multiplier. Yeah. I think Marvin Harrison Jr. will help Kyler Murray probably more than Kyler Murray will help Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm curious. There's the run on quarterbacks early and the six quarterbacks go as fast as they did. Spencer Rattler still is on the board, right? There hasn't been another quarterback taken. There wasn't a quarterback taken yesterday in the second and third rounds. So that's kind of surprising mm-hmm. that no one took a flyer, especially some of the quarterback needy teams that you thought might come away with one.
I think it reflects the impatience that we're seeing. It's almost like boom or bust, either or.
You're going to play right away.
Either you're going to play right away, or you know what? If I want to load my depth chart with a quarterback or resources, it's going to be a veteran to back up the guy or have a bridge guy. Mm-hmm. Those kind of fourth round projects, the Kirk Cousins, if you will, you don't see those as often because you don't see Russell Wilson drafted in the third round.
Right.
Those examples are few and far between because I think if you get a guy, there's so much pressure to play him early that you're going to do that. And if he's not going to play, you're not going to develop somebody from the third round. Who's got time for that?
Yeah, but I mean, Tom Brady. You just think about the different quarterbacks that have taken their time to get there. I mean,
Russell Wilson was a third round draft.
Yeah. When was Joe Montana taken? Mm-hmm. Wasn't he?
It's the most important position in football. I am shocked he's sitting there.
No doubt.
If the guy shows anything,
but guys, with due respect, those are dated references.
Okay,
because now true. I think the salary structure and the pressure, which is enormous,
I see what you're saying.
On these front offices mm-hmm. to win now or show progress immediately.
But
It forces a change in the dynamic.
Okay, and I'm not arguing that fact, but Patrick Mahomes didn't start right away. I'm just saying, even if you think about the best quarterbacks in the league and how they got there, is there a lesson to that?
It took a Hall of Fame coach to show that kind of patience to have the benefit of the doubt given him before he was able to do that.
Yeah. And the dated references are only because they won multiple championships.
Exactly. Yeah. It worked. I mean, it worked, right?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Russell Wilson was ticketed for starting from day one.
All right, we got to get our guy. He's Mark Grody. It's Grody time, and he is up at Hallis Hall or will be soon. Or I don't know where Grody is, but we're tracking him down, and we'll talk to him next. It's the draft show. It's fun Saturday getting it done on the score.
It's Grody time, and that means it's time for Mark Grody with Mully and Haw.
Bears.
On 670 The Score.
It's the Mully and Haw draft special on this Saturday, a glorious Saturday in the city of Chicago. Mully and Haw until noon along with Patrick Manley. And now it is time to go out to the Circus Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today where we find our guy. Just talked to him on TV last night. He's on the radio this morning. He's everywhere. Mark Grody. How's it going, Groats?
What's going on? I was on the radio last night as well. So.
You're everywhere.
Yeah.
How's Hub doing?
Oh, Hub's doing great, man. I could not have been happier to be paired with Hub Arkish during draft weekend because he's one of the, going way back, he's one of the original draft Knicks. Mm-hmm. So it's always a big weekend for Hub. We had a great time talking to Bears fans for 3 hours. And you know what's nice about this draft? We don't have to look at it and say, try to figure, okay, what's the best part about this draft? Well, it's pretty obvious what the best part about this draft is, and it's the first round, Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze. And, I mean, what they did in the third round with Karan Amagaji, not bad either. And I thought that Ryan Poles was pretty transparent about all of these players and how he's going
to
use them.
What did you think about the way he described the ability for maybe Amagaji to compete for a starting spot and how patient he sounded in letting him develop?
Yeah, well, I got the feeling, Dave, from listening that he won't compete this year for the left tackle spot, but maybe it's possible that he will next year. I mean, he did say that he's the first thing he did say, you're right, David, that he's here to compete, but then sort of parenthetically, he said probably not this year for a starting job, and then and God bless Ryan Poles for being so transparent, because Hub and I were talking, I'm like, boy, I hope we get an idea of how they plan to use Amagaji this year. And we did. And he said he's going to he wants him to be the swing tackle on this team. And I think that is a great idea for him. Now, if he overachieves, and like we saw Braxton Jones in 2022, if we're standing in the Walter Payton Center and all of a sudden Amagaji is lining up as a starter or competing with Braxton Jones, then I'm not going to be totally and completely surprised. But it sounds like this is just for right now, that this is just a perfect depth piece to put in there with guys like Jatari Carter and Larry Borum right now. And I know they brought in Matt Pryor as well. So you are definitely stockpiling bodies on the offensive line, and that's exactly what you have to do in this age.
Hey, Grody, is Fluce giving him a nickname yet?
not that I know of. I just want to make sure that everybody's going to be able to pronounce his name. It's actually not that hard of a name to pronounce. It just looks a little bit intimidating because there's a D and a J for people. It's AmeGadJie. So it just looks a little bit intimidating. Actually, not that difficult. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the new crop of nicknames from Matt Eberflus. They're going to be coming soon. And Caleb Williams and Rome Odunze looking at him like, who is this guy? But I honestly hope Fluce has fun with this roster, man. And that's another part. Like, we are seeing a golden roster beginning to be built.
Yep.
And now it's – I'm pretty happy with the personnel. Now hand it over to Matt Eberflus in his third year. You know, we always talked about give Justin Fields players. Well, guess what? Matt Eberflus now has players. And there was a certain degree of sympathy for him, or understanding, I should say, that when you're in a rebuild, it's kind of hard to fire the coach. But now you've got the players. Make something out of it. And the same thing for Shane Waldron, who probably has even more pressure on him.
Yeah, I think Shane Waldron, Mark, that's the guy that we're kind of concerned with. That's the guy that has a job to do. With all due respect to the head coach, his defense, they're bringing that group back. They didn't do a hell of a lot to improve it. And in fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm not sure they've taken a defensive player yet in the draft. I think they might have gone offense.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know what's funny? I was thinking about that, you know, we're all like, are they going to take any defense here? I remember back in 2022 when we were like, are they going to take any offense here? Because it was Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker. And then they sneak in a Velus Jones pick,
yeah,
right?
Bring that up.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, Molly, here's the thing about guys like Velus Jones Jr. right now, and even Tyler Scott, if you would like. Like, everything has fallen into the proper context now. You could live with Velus Jones, and I don't think the Bears are going to be able to live with him this year. But as for the defense, I thought about this, and I talked about this a little bit last night. It's okay that the defense is, quote-unquote, just good. You can continue to build that, you know, next year or even at the trade deadline or in free agency still or in, right, you know, a rookie free agent or even in the fourth round. And here's another part, too. The glaring open or need for the Bears is another guy who can get the quarterback. Obviously, you have one that can do that right now with regularity, and that's Montez Sweat. The guy that I am thinking about right now, and you have to think about guys improving and getting better. DeMarcus Walker was supposed to produce more last year, and he just didn't. The year before, when he was with Tennessee, he had had 8 sacks, and that was a career high. So I think that Ryan Poles looked at him as a player. Maybe this guy is on the rise, and I'm going to get him at the exact right time. And then he kind of went back down to the mean. Let's see if he has a jump in his second year, because he just didn't have the proper comfort. He was one of those guys that was injured at the beginning of the season. Remember, there were about 19 guys on the injured list, and then it all magically disappeared to begin the season. But Walker was one of those guys who missed a lot of time in camp and then was expected to produce right away. So that's a guy that I have high expectations
for. They got a couple of defensive tackles they drafted last year. Presumably they're better in their second season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that obviously Jervon Dexter was a guy that took some pretty mighty steps last year, and I think that it's very possible that he's a guy that will make the next jump and hopefully be their 3 technique tackle.
So they upgrade the roster. This is a team with playoff aspirations, and if this first 3 picks of the draft have done nothing but reinforce that, the question becomes this, Mark. If this roster is tough to make and every spot matters, where's the veteran insurance at quarterback? Mm-hmm. Because Caleb Williams is unbelievable. Everybody's excited. And I think that, you know, we're all on board. But you have to protect yourself against the fact that if you have a playoff-ready team and one position that important suffers an injury, even for a short period of time, I know they like Tyson Bagent, but wouldn't you like to have a veteran in there showing everybody how they've done it for so long? Ryan Tannehill still available.
Yeah, that'd be a great name right there. Yeah, I mean, you have Brett Rippon in that quarterback room as well, and yet it doesn't exactly, you know, all due respect to those guys. It's just, you know, they just haven't had enough collective experience. Look, I think back to, you know, my first years covering the Bears. I was there for just about the entire Trubisky era, and I remember Chase Daniel was his guy. And that was what a great – could there have been a better veteran to have around a young quarterback? And wow, what a key he was to the
– Josh McCown.
The comfort. Yeah. Josh McCown was the Jay Cutler whisperer in the day.
He made me a better man covering the team.
Because he was such a great guy.
You know what he's
doing
now?
J.J. McCarthy's coach.
He's J.J. McCarthy's coach in Minnesota.
That's unbelievable. Yeah, but that's in Mully. That's a great example.
He made our locker room better. Just to be able to see him across the locker room.
He just wiped away a tear.
I mean, Andy Dalton was here to help out with Jay Cutler.
What was he here for?
Yeah, I don't know exactly. No. You know what he was? He was an interrupter. He was, okay, we're all ready to watch Justin Fields right from the beginning of, oh, no, we've got other plans. It's our turn. It was the Bears' turn to have Andy Dalton on the roster, and the Bears didn't realize, oh, we have to do our 1 year with Andy Dalton. So, yeah, no, to the point, yeah, that's the one thing. I think that this, I'd like to think anyway, and maybe it's naive of anybody to trust the Bears when it comes to offensive endeavors, but I think Ryan Poles genuinely has recognized the errors of the past. And if he has noticed that, then he also knows what's going on. All of us are not the only ones who know that Tyson Bagent and Brett Rippon are the depth at quarterback right now. So I think that they will somehow figure out a way to compensate that and make sure that there's always a veteran overseer.
Hey, Mark, I don't know if you have a chance now because you're not really there every day, but a sense of the guys in the locker room for the excitement, for the, we've talked ourselves in, we went over the schedule and how excited we are about their expectations. But do you get a sense from the guys, maybe their excitement for Caleb Williams to come in, for Rome to come in, for them to be that much better of a team?
No, not for the veterans. Yeah, that's the part that I'm interested in finding out, especially somebody like DJ Moore, mm-hmm. who kind of had the world to himself last year in terms of being, one of the offensive stars in that locker room. But I have to imagine, just from some of the reactions that I've seen from some of the younger players, like on Twitter and social media, just with the popping eyes and, let's go, and this is a new era. I think that they can, this Bears team, the players that are locks to make this roster, can look at Ryan Poles and go, oh, I see what you're doing. I see what you're, especially the guys that were like the Jaquan Briskers and the Kyler Gordons of the world, who were, in the front row for this rebuild in 2022. Those guys are like, oh, this is what Poles was talking about when we were drafted. Oh, I see what's going on here. Even the guys like from last year, Darnell Wright is like, what's going on here? What's this stuff? Oh, I see what's going on. So these players, they must love it because it's something that I don't know if they believe. I don't know. Like, I think that to some degree, players are like fans. They're like, I believe it when I see it. And now there's this march of players to Hallis Hall that we have not seen in a long time.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Mark, it is an exciting time because we haven't seen a quarterback. We haven't seen somebody who is primarily a thrower of the football. He'll buy time and throw the football, but he wants to throw the ball, and they've got weaponry, and it's not limited to the receivers. The receivers are spectacular, and I think Keenan Allen in the slot, that's like an extra tight end. By the way, they got a couple tight ends. Oh, and they got a running back and catch the ball. It just feels like they've been weaponized. And now they got the quarterback. And that's going to be really a fun thing to watch this year. I think there's a lot of excitement.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, how nice is it, too? Like I was talking about, putting everybody in order and perspective. You mentioned Molly, Keenan Allen, and DJ Moore, and those just automatic weapons. I think Rome Odunze will be that. And all of a sudden, it's like, as you're indicating, it's like, oh, yeah, plus Cole Kmet, man. He's on the rise. Like, all of a sudden, it's like, what a nice weapon that guy is going to be. If you get something from Gerald Everett, the other tight end that you alluded to, I think that's terrific. And how about just the fact that, like, somebody like Tyler Scott had a disappointing rookie season. He just did. But that's a guy that they loved. I mean, they used him as much as they possibly could in training camp long. Look at him. They obviously wanted to inject him into the game plan last year. Some of that was out of necessity. But what about him? If he could just relax a little bit, he's still probably the fastest guy. I mean, him and Rome probably would compete for the fastest dude on that wide receiver core. So now this might give you time to slowly develop some of the guys at the end of the roster, assuming that they all make the roster. So it just puts everything into the proper perspective, and we don't have to sit there and highlight and hope somebody like Tyler Scott buds as a young prospect.
So, Grody, today 122 is the number of the pick that the Bears will be on the clock. What do you expect them? Is it best available? Can you please tell me they're going to draft that punter?
Are you referencing the Iowa punter?
Of course I am. These guys are making Torrey Taylor sound like the greatest thing since Caitlin Clark to come out of the state.
Is there any other punter?
No, there is no other punter, Molly. Yes. We actually got a call last night on the show, Hub and I did, a serious call about the Bears taking that Iowa punter in the fourth round. But here's what I think for the fourth round. I mean, the obvious area that you could look at and say is, well, defense, because as Molly said, they have not taken a defensive player yet in this draft, so they still need somebody to get to the quarterback, as we discussed. Interior never hurts, but what I think is, I honestly think Ryan Poles should just relax and have fun with this pick and just be like, Don't worry, like, best player available. That's what I think they should do. Find the guy, because your draft is already made. When I asked Poles, like, is it disappointing you only have four picks? And he's like, no, because I had 1-9. So that was the draft. Amagaji, obviously a good pick as well. Take the best player available in this spot. Don't try to force an edge rusher, interior lineman, unless they are the best, just because you think you need those guys. Your defense is good as it is.
Mark, I know we got to get to breaks real quick. When do we see Caleb Williams with a helmet on at practice?
That is coming very soon. We are going to be getting a schedule. We're going to have a rookie camp, and there's going to be OTAs. I don't have the exact day right here in front of me right now, Patrick, but that will be coming very soon where we get to see all these rookies assembled out there at the hall.
Rookies assemble. Great stuff, buddy. Assemble. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Groats.
Thanks, guys.
That is our guy, Mark Rohde, out at Hell's
Hall. It's got to be next weekend, possibly, right?
I think so.
It's coming right up. Yeah. No, it's right around the corner.
Yeah. Let's get going.
Right, I know. Corner.
You think people are excited now? Wait until they see the way the ball comes out of his hand.
Yes.
So I will tell you who the remaining quarterback free agents are when we come back, and you tell me if you really want any of them. But I like Ryan Tannehill, to answer your question, David, but boy, drops off the ledge after that. We'll discuss it next. It's Mully and Haw. It's Patrick Manley. It's the NFL Draft Show on the Score.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.